It's time for Out and About with Elaine. Join Elaine as she goes out and about and discusses your weekend, entertainment, fun, or just life in general. Give her a call now at 508-222-1320. That's 508-222-1320. Now, here's Elaine.
Good morning, everyone. This is Elaine LaRoche, and you are listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our telephone number is 508-222-1320. I hope you're going to get out and about today and tomorrow. We have some really great weather. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Best of Rhode Island that was happening in all around southeastern Massachusetts. They had a huge party Thursday night. And I will take this 10 seconds to say that my daughter Kelly Bates won Best Female Meteorologist again for the third straight year. Michael Catanzaro is on the board today. How are you doing, Michael?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really happy. Today we are going to talk to our own WARA meteorologist, Jim Corbin, on hurricanes and hurricane preparedness, because tis the season. And when Jim calls in later today, we'll get our local forecast, but also, too, want to talk about the hurricane season.
Well, this week we didn't have too many hurricanes, but we did have a few jolts here and there.
Yes, we did. I heard about the earthquake that the
must
earth
be
moved.
It must be the same people that have been blowing up the beach.
Oh, my God. I just found out that it was a hydrogen or some sort of gas that was built up in those...
sand?
In the conductor. The wires that were underneath the ground, that cable was filled up with, like, some sort of pressure something probe, and it exploded.
And that's what they said made the explosion?
Yeah, just about 10 minutes ago, yes.
Wow, that's funny.
I did want to tell people, if you're coming down on County Street, Olive Street... stoplight, they're doing a lot of work, so part of the road is closed. You only have like one little area, so be careful when you make that when you make a right-hand turn off County.
So go slow.
Go very slow, yeah, because the workers are just setting up the barrels, and there's a large truck there, so just be careful. Well, let's get the show started, shall we? If you play the lottery, I always wish you good luck, because I hope somebody we know wins. Camille's is a nice restaurant to go to, just so you know, if you do win. Rhode Island Daily.
Go over there and eat.
Yeah. Well, my hint is, if I'm giving you the numbers and you win, you know, take us out to dinner.
Oh, all right. Or breakfast.
No, they don't do breakfast. We know a good place for breakfast, don't we?
Okay. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Our good friends. Mackey's.
Yes, it's certified by Elaine.
It is, yes. The Out and About crew goes to Mackey's. Anyway, Rhode Island daily number is 0973. Mass daily number is 7651. Mass cash number is 4, 10, 24, 25, 27. The Mega Millions, I don't know anyone who will ever win this, but hopefully somebody will. Mega Millions numbers are 10, 12, 26, 60, 62. The Mega Ball is 13, and the Mega Plier is 5. There are a lot of great movies coming out in the summertime, really good ones and some bad ones that you just want to walk on by. But my 5 top picks, and no pun intended, is Pixel. If you have to put your 1980s mindset on when you see this movie. It's the favorite character of Pac-Man chomping on New York City. The movie is a blast of energy and fun, and it doesn't stay out of the lines of the movies like Godzilla, where, you know, meeting a strange large creature comes in to destroy a city, and only a certain few people know how to battle that evil monster. Well, it's Adam Sandler's and his cast of misfits are doing this movie with special effects and a nostalgia look back on a simpler time. And for the younger generation, there's a lot of shoot 'em up and chomping going on. It's getting panned by the critics, but I think that if you just go there with that in mind, that it's going to be just a fun 1980s kind of thing, and you can see your favorite, I think it's even like Donkey Kong and all these other characters show up too. A really great movie that's getting a lot of buzz that's just opening up this weekend is called Southpaw with Jack Gyllenhaal. And he actually spent 6 months training for this fighter movie. And it is getting really great, fabulous reviews. And it's about a boxing champion who loses his family and all his money. And he is the comeback kid against all odds. He is very convincing. And there's a lot of Oscar buzz for him. So I think I'd like to check that out. If you're a fan of Chevy Chase and those vacation movies, there's another one out this time. His son Rusty, who is married and has children, now wants to relive those fond memories of his trip to Wally World. And he takes his family on the ride of their lives. It's a popcorn, lighthearted, and a great movie to remember. And remember your own precious family vacations yourselves. Another fun little one is Minions. Those are really great fun movies for children that are under the age of 10, but they're getting, it's making a lot of
money. After what you said to me last week about the Minions, I don't know if I want to go see them.
Oh, don't even go there. We'll talk about that later. And the last movie is Jurassic World. It's still getting a lot of attention. Folks are still fascinated by dinosaurs. So do you know what the five top movies of the week are?
No, but you'll tell us.
I shall do that. Number one is Ant-Man. It grossed...
The Ant-Man.
Yes. Grossing $57 million in 1 week. $57 million. The Minions actually is grossing $49 million, but it's in 2 weeks. Trainwreck, which is a really fun romantic comedy, is grossing $30 million in a week. Inside Out grossed $11 million in 5 weeks. And Jurassic World, $11 million in 5 weeks as well. In the theater, if you want to take your children to a Disney, Little Mermaid is playing at Theater by the Sea in Matunuck. That's always a fun thing. And Gypsy is just starting at the Ocean State Theater on Jefferson Boulevard. Other activities? Mm-hmm. Other activities? Polo in Newport. Actually, it's not. It's actually in Portsmouth. You know, you've seen the movie Pretty Woman where they go to the polo field and the ponies come down and the guys try to hit the ball and
you know,
it's all that stuff.
That's kind of like soccer but on horseback, right?
It's kind of like, well, when I first looked at it, I thought, it looks like croquet, you know, like when you're hitting this mallet and you go by and you... Well, anyway, you can come down to Portsmouth, Rhode Island. The games are $12 admission, Saturdays, every Saturday at 5 p.m. It's located at 250 Linden Lane in Portsmouth. It's a great location. But if you really want to learn how to play, they actually have lessons for $75. Giddy up. There are a couple of festivals I want to tell you about. And Saturday, which is today, is Our Lady of Martyrs 61st Annual Parish Festival on Park Avenue in Woonsocket. The fun starts this morning, goes through August 1st. Enjoy rides from Rockwell Amusement Park. Games, foods, and lots of fun for the whole family. That is a lot of fun in Woonsocket. That's downtown Park Street there. And Family Fringe Festival in Providence. I actually had to read this like a couple of times, Michael, because it was like, what is this? It starts today from 10 a.m. to 3. It's a family-friendly event. Features performances, theater games, picnics, sculptures, and many other things around theater. And like I said, the fun begins at 10 a.m. on Updike Street, and check it out. Music scene, the Jazz Festival is coming up in another week or so, but tonight, excuse me, you can go see John Cafferty, and the Beaver Brown Band is playing at Mohegan Sun at 8 o'clock. And then the Mississippi Heat Blues Band is playing at Chance tonight. And if you are really into Rockstar Energy Drink concert is tonight at the Xfinity Center. You can hear all these great music like King Diamond, Slayer, The Devil Wears Prada, The Art is Murder Band, Whitechapel, Shattered Sun, and Code Orange. The fun starts at 1 p.m. and tickets are just $30, but it goes all day long. Of course, Taylor Swift is in town at Gillette Stadium. Tickets are all sold out, but I heard you can get one still for over $250 a piece. They're still available, but you have to... I'm not going to say... You can't scalp tickets. It's illegal.
Yes.
But if somebody were to do that, unfortunately, that's how much you would pay. But we have something really special on Sunday, tomorrow, in Attleboro from 2 to 4 o'clock. Dan Gable and the... Let's see, what do you call it? Oh, Abletones are going to be here in Attleboro playing a special concert. It's a big band is back in Attleboro.
Wow.
And this is a special free concert. So
free?
Bring a blanket, lawn chair, sit back, relax, and enjoy music.
Where's it going to be?
It's going to be at Capron Park. at the...
Cape and Pock sounds like a big place.
Oh, okay. It's going to be at the Ray Conniff Bandstand.
In Cape and Pock, right?
Yes, yes. And also today, don't forget, today we have the food. I'm sorry.
Food?
Yes, we have food. It's at the farmer's market.
Oh, yes, at Cape and Pock.
I'm waking up now. Okay.
It's all right. Yes. You only had your first cup of coffee.
No, I haven't had my first cup. I've had like three sips of it.
Oh.
All right, I apologize, folks. Okay.
Looks like three big sips to me.
Yeah, well, you know, I had to hurry up and get here. Yes, I did. But the farmers,
more like three gulps.
The farmer's market is here from 9 to 1 today. The signs are out. Oh, my God. Listen to this. Friday, this coming Friday, Boy George is back in town. He's going to be playing at Foxwoods. Can you name some songs of Culture Club? And do you remember? Were you born then?
Comma, Camellia. That's one.
Yes.
Miss Me Blind is another one.
Right.
I'm trying to think of the others.
The Crying Game.
Crying Game. Do You Really Want to Hurt Me?
That's right. That's the one I had written down, too. That's great. Yes. So he's going to be here Friday, actually at Foxwoods.
Hmm.
This coming Tuesday, North Attleboro, excuse me, we'll have a Beatle invasion. And the band Forever Fab will be performing at the town hall starting at 6 p.m., 6:30. It's free, so come on down into North Attleboro and hear some of your very favorite Beatles songs. What was one of your favorite songs?
I like the Beatles, but I can't remember which favorite song I had.
Really?
No.
Really?
Off the top of my head, no.
Oh.
I don't know, but I'm seeing the computers telling us we have to take a break.
We do in about 2, 1. Okay, we will be right back after these messages.
Alrighty. And it looked like it was, here we go. We're going to take a break right now.
The City of Attleboro and the Park Commission is proud to announce another great season of summer concerts to be held at Capron Park in the Newell Shelter. The concerts are free and open to the public and will run from June 27th through August 29th every Thursday evening from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. So get those lawn chairs ready and let the summer concerts begin. For more information, feel free to call Terry Conti at the Park and Forestry Department at 774-203-1865.
Go, Caleb! Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Obvious.
Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Find a relaxed position to let go of the time you left your daughter's blouse in the dryer too long and it shrunk 4 sizes, or when you donated her private diary to the public library. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
The Attleboro Farmers Market has set up location this year at O'Connell Field in Capron Park, and parking is available at the Attleboro High School Bushy Street lot and all along Blue Pride Way. Enjoy a stroll through the park from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. each and every Saturday morning, right straight through until October 24th to find fresh fruits and vegetables at your fingertips. Buy fresh, buy local. For more information, feel free to send an email to attleborofarmersmarket@gmail.com.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche. Please dial in and join our conversation. We're going to be talking about emergency preparedness for hurricane season is upon us. Jim Corbin, our meteorologist, our famous meteorologist, will be calling in at 7:35 today. We'll be giving us the latest updates in our local forecast, but also, too, we're going to have a really serious discussion about emergency preparedness in hurricanes and how do hurricanes form. And
I have an emergency plan.
What do you do?
Feet don't fail me now. Run.
Yeah. I remember when we first moved up here from Maryland and there was a Hurricane Bob. And oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
That had been the 80s, right?
That was, yeah, that was really bad. I mean, really bad.
You know what I get amazed at is when we have these big storms, like Hurricane Bob, for example. I remember I was in high school when that happened. And there were people in my neighborhood, and unfortunately, I hate to admit it, my father was one of them, that was going around hugging trees.
Hugging trees?
Like, my father was out there hugging the tree to feel it swaying back and forth. I don't know why these people do that. I guess because they're just awed by the, you know, or just that thrill of being out there next to, like, something that could fall or danger or whatever. They tell people to stay in,
yeah.
And people sometimes do the opposite of what people on television are telling them to do.
My God. Yeah, it can be very intense, that's for sure. Hurricanes and tornadoes. I was out in the Midwest, and we had a tornado, and they are very scary.
Tornadoes sound like they're worse
really,
than hurricanes.
They are. For me, personally, yeah, I was really terrified, actually. We were in Michigan City, Indiana, and... my neighbors came over because I had three little kids under the age of 2.5. I had newborns and a daughter. My daughter Kelly was only 2 at the time, and the tornado. And I said, I didn't know how to do this, you know. So people came in and they were helping me. And basically, you have to open up windows like just a little bit so like the air can like cross ventilate the house. The house, you could actually hear it and move it. You could feel the pressure. The inner pressure.
Wow.
And we had to go down the basement, and it was just
so
really,
opening
really
the
scary.
Windows, what's that do? Does that prevent the house from lifting up and blowing up and stuff?
I guess. I will have to ask Jim Corbin, but I wanted to focus on not tornadoes, but hurricanes.
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced that too? I mean, what did
what,
you...
Hurricane?
You were a kid when Hurricane Bob came
well,
along,
yeah,
right?
I was in high school, and then I do remember, what was it? There was a hurricane in the 70s. It was a pretty major one, and I can't remember the name of it. And I was even smaller then. And I remember a lot of wind, a lot of rain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, branches and trees falling
trees
down.
Trees falling down, yeah.
Power lines. I mean, when you're a kid, it's great because, oh, you know, the power goes out and you can light candles, you know?
Yeah, you
it's
don't
like,
know what's going
fire.
On.
It's like, oh, fire, this is
you're
really
a little
great.
Kid. Yeah, you're a little kid. You don't understand, like, what's the big deal? What's all the panic? But,
right.
You know, it's funny. I work in downtown Providence, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, they have some plaques on some of the buildings, some of the older buildings. It's, you know, it has water lines, and one of them was like, here is, the water rose up to this level in the Great Gale of 18 such and such. And then they have another line that says, another plaque on another building. This was where the water line reached in the hurricane of 19, I think it's like 28 or 38. I can't remember which.
38.
It was 38. My uncle has pictures, like a high, you know, like you get a high school yearbook.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle actually has pictures of the hurricane of 1938 where you're seeing water that actually was up to the City Hall steps, almost up to the first floor of the City Hall, and trolley cars and everything. Like, you could see just the rooftops of cars and trolley cars just floating around in
mm-hmm.
the water. That was like, and everyone was just gathered on top of the steps. Or looking out from the windows of the buildings, and you're looking across Kennedy Plaza, and it was like all water.
Right.
That is amazing. That was before, way before, I think it was after the hurricane of 58 that they got smart and decided to build a hurricane barrier.
Barrier, right.
Which, fortunately, we never really had to test it.
No, we've closed it a few times. We have.
Yeah.
With storm surges and that. We have closed with that hurricane barrier. That's why a lot of the meteorologists will go down there. Because it is so massive, you know, and if there's a threat or something, that they actually can close that. So that won't happen to the city of Providence. But you should have a family disaster plan in place. And I think what I'd like to do is just talk to Jim Corbin about that when we do it on the flip side. But, I mean, so many people, like, they do have generators now. If folks out there, if you're listening, if you have any tips for emergency preparedness for hurricanes, give us a call. 508-222-1320 is our number.
Now, the funny thing is, mm-hmm. a couple years back, or back maybe 5 years ago, this is before, probably around the time me and Sue got engaged, we had a, remember the big flood?
Oh, God, yeah.
And it was like, it seemed strange how it rained really heavy
mm-hmm.
for a short period of time, and all of a sudden you see half the highway was underwater.
Yes.
And they were saying that was almost like a Category 5 hurricane.
Wow.
The damage that we had. I mean, streets.
Oh, yeah.
I saw sewer covers like coming up like a fountain, and it was pushing the yep. heavy sewer cover up.
The pressure, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Actually, my sister-in-law had an apartment over by Warwick Mall, and it got flooded right up to the cabinets. Like, right up. And they had to... And it was so funny because my niece was shopping at that mall, and she said, Mom, why don't you just come over to the house and stay overnight, and then tomorrow we'll come back. And she said, but I just don't like the way the storm is going. My sister-in-law literally just took a overnight bag and left, and she came back like weeks later, and everything was like sludge and sewer and lost everything. They had to tear down everything to the studs, all of that. Building and put in better drainage all around the complex, but she never went back there, but she lost everything. Can you imagine? I mean, I know I feel so bad when you hear about people losing things in a fire or a mishap of some sort, but to actually have a family member go through that is just really devastating, and it was quite very bad, yeah. But because, you know, I wanted everybody to be prepared, and we're looking ahead into the hurricane season, and we still have a few more months. I think it goes until, what, October?
I think November. But yeah. Jim Corbin would probably...
Our buddy will talk to us in about 10 minutes about that, yes, because he's our expert. But
I was just thinking this morning, I haven't really heard much about hurricanes in the Atlantic.
Well, I want to talk to him about that and see, you know, it seems to be very quiet.
This year, yeah.
Yeah, I mean... Thank goodness, and maybe...
Yeah, we don't want any.
And I want to talk to him about, you know, where do they come up with the names, you know? I'm still waiting for Hurricane Elaine or Michael. You know, we haven't had those yet, and who picks those? And then there's another set of names on the other coast, you know? And, yeah, it's quite remarkable. I can't wait.
There was another hurricane I remember, Gloria.
Oh, Gloria.
When was that? I think it was got to have been in the 80s and 90s.
Yes.
But when it was coming through, I remember that there was one radio station that we were listening to, and they were playing that song, Gloria.
Oh, my.
G-L-O-R-I-A, Gloria.
Yes.
And it's like they kept playing that song over and over again.
Crazy, Michael. Crazy, man. Well, hopefully we won't get a lot of hurricanes this year, but it's always good to be prepared, that's for sure. So, but I can't believe that. Next week is the last week of July. I mean, it's like summertime is more than half over, as Jim would tell
you. Yeah, we're in the halfway stretch now. And then, you know what's cool is lately the summers have been, it felt like they've been extended. Like, you know, we get into August, and most of the time in your mind you're like, summer's over now. But we've been fortunate because the falls have been crisp and beautiful, and they would just simply go, like the nice warm weather would go right into almost November.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have that period where it's just cold, there's nothing. And then it seems like as soon as after Christmas comes, the snow.
Oh, yeah. I know. Our seasons have definitely changed. I know when I was a kid, it just seemed like it was snowing way before Christmas and everything. But we're digressing from our topic of hurricanes, so I want to get back to that. But I think that if you do create a family plan of hurricanes and that. And what I'll do too, folks, is if you're interested, I have information for hurricanes emergency preparedness from FEMA. And I can
is
send
buy a
it
kayak
out.
One of the things
see,
on your list?
Let's see, buying a kayak. No, it says get a generator.
Learn how to swim.
Oh, this is a good one. It says purchase a self-powered radio and flashlights and batteries. I'm a candle gal. I can't help it. I have my candles and everything. Oh, here's another thing. Like, if you have, if you know ahead of time that a hurricane is coming and you always seem to lose power, it said to dispose of all perishable foods 12 hours before the storm.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would be really bad. Bring in anything outside. I know I've heard this from other meteorologists,
or buy non-perishable.
You know, tie it down. If you're out, you know, like lawn furniture and stuff like that, bring it in, you know, because you don't want those things swirling around, you know, so you want to bring in your plants,
or
too.
Or trash barrels.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah, yeah. And also, too, it makes sense to evacuate if you're on low level, the floodplain.
It's wonderful. And, you know, it's amazing, Elaine, that you mentioned that. And I guess maybe we can ask Jim this, too.
Mm-hmm.
How would one know if they're in the low-lying area?
It's a good question. We should
Because really,
that.
when you walk around anywhere, you don't know if it's like what it would be like in a flood zone.
I think that when you purchase a house or something, they have to tell you you're in the flood zone. Well, you can find out. Actually, there is a map. There is a map. I do know that. But anyway, folks, and also one big tip that I've learned throughout the years is get bottled water, lots of bottled water, and for drinking and all of that. So make sure you do that, too.
Good
but
stuff.
On our flip side, I do want to talk to the expert, our meteorologist, Jim Corbin, and we'll talk more about that, too. And I'll have some more tips, too. And it says find shelter, and don't forget the pets and bring them in.
Wait a minute. You there's know? Something here that says build an ark. Take two of everything.
You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine the Roach, and we're going to take a quick break. And we will be right back after these messages, and we invite you to call in at 508-222-1320. I'm going to have another sip of coffee and wake up, and I hope you do too. We'll be right back after these messages.
Birthday parties help build confidence in kids.
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket. Hit ignition. And then?
And then nothing. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out!
And then the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
Even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Runners and walkers are invited to the 13th annual Runaways Run Around 5K on Sunday, August 2nd at 9 a.m. This 5K race is a USATF New England sanctioned and certified course which loops through North Attleboro. The race is sponsored by the Runaways Running Club. Proceeds benefit Community VNA's hospice and palliative care programs. Pre-registration is $25. $30 on race day. For more info, call 508-339-0147 or register online at signmeup.com/105324.
Good morning, everyone. This is Elaine LaRoche. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and our topic today is hurricanes and hurricane preparedness, and the hurricane season is upon us, and our own WARA 1320 meteorologist Jim Corbin will be calling in, and we'll be talking to him about the latest forecast for this week, but also too to find out the philosophy and emergency preparedness behind hurricanes. What are they? How do they start? I know that tropical disturbances are created in the Atlantic and they move up the coast, and what changes that disturbance into a hurricane? My guess is the winds and different things, but who am I? I'm just a talk show person, and I'm just a grandmother. I don't know about hurricanes.
You just see them on television, and then you just prepare for them.
Yeah, I do. I do prepare for them, that's for sure. But it's going to be a really great day. The farmer's market is out and about, you know, from 9 to 1 today. I hope you get a chance to get out there and support our local vendors. I mean, there's nothing better than fresh produce, and I love doing that. That's really great. I have one cucumber plant. My tomato plants all died, but I have a cucumber plant that's just thriving and saying, please don't kill me.
So you got dried up tomatoes. You know, you could probably make something with
no,
dried
you know what happened? No, what happened is the tomatoes were really great. It's the Don squirrels and the bunny rabbits that were getting in my containers. I literally had to put the basil, and the cucumber plant. Where I live, there's an old car in the driveway, and I put it on top of its hood, and that's where it is now. And wow. They're thriving, though, but the tomato plants are all eaten up.
Could turn the car into a big planter.
It is. It's hiding all the rust and everything. I have to say it does enhance it.
Have the flowers, like, sprout through the fenders and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you get that image, yeah.
But I am getting that image.
Oh, don't. Okay, we got to get focused back on our topic, which is the hurricane season. And if you have a story to share, our number here is 508-222-1320. Jim Corbin will be calling in. And we'd learn a little bit more about hurricanes as we do this. I know
maybe if someone out there has actually lived through the hurricane of 38 or 58 or any of those major ones, they can call us and tell us what, you know, how did you survive it?
I know, if they have memories of that, other than being terrified in a storm. I think that the most important thing is communication, finding out what's going on when. I think that, you know, some of the tips that I had read earlier about getting a battery-powered, you know, with a radio is really helpful. And I think that if you are in a situation like that, I think news and updates, I think that you really need to be aware of where the storm is and how it's moving. And I think our meteorologist, Jim Corbin, is on. So good morning, Jim.
Yes, he is.
How are you today?
Good morning. Well, very good. Right off the bat, I want to congratulate Kelly again for another award. That's great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, really, really surprised and really, really happy. And she's very humbled by that. So
no,
thanks.
She deserves it. By the way, you know what happened yesterday in parts of the area? And yeah. A severe thunderstorm. We did have a few showers. I'm bringing this up because we have a kind of energetic weather pattern over the coming days. Oh. And then right after this, I'll get to the we'll talk about hurricanes and stuff. But it was a severe thunderstorm that came out of southern Worcester County yesterday late afternoon near Douglas and Uxbridge, if you know where that area is, off of 146 there in Massachusetts.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Came down through western and central Rhode Island, just to the west of Providence. Downtown Providence and vicinity missed it just by a few miles. Boy, I'll tell you, even Cranston just barely got the eastern edge of it. Had small hail and gusty winds. Fast mover, though, and it went off the south coast near Narragansett and even as far west as Charlestown. Down along the south coast of Rhode Island, but strong gusty winds in that for a short time and some small hail, and there were other areas over parts of the Boston area and also points north up near Gloucester that had it. But I'm mentioning that because we have a fairly energetic weather pattern. Now, today, it's going to be kind of interesting. I'd advise, if you like to do things outdoors, I say this often, how the weather affects us, if you don't like high temperatures and high heat, today would be the day to be out and out and about and doing something, say around a yard, never mind possibly going to an event. I mean, maybe you can do both, obviously, but if you have stuff you have to do outside, you don't want to be worrying about the heat, because over the coming days, it's going to be interesting. Almost every day for the next several is going to be a little warmer than the previous one. So today we're going to be in the mid-70s. with clouds and a little sun. We had a backdoor cold front come through. The wind has shifted into the north, and you might have noticed early this morning, Elaine and Mike, the clouds kind of moving in. Actually, the sun briefly was out early this morning, and then now the clouds have come down. Now, no rain at the present time, but it's all in the wind direction, north-northeast, and we're going to have highs again, as I said, mid-70s. And again, just a chance of a shower, possibly late this afternoon, but that will be likely to the west of here. Tonight, probably the last reasonable sleepy night we're going to have for a while. So make sure you have either a fan or an air conditioner, whatever you have. Again, as I always say, the AC, obviously, and we all know this, generates more electricity. So you can sometimes use a fan instead or put it right on you. Lay down on a wet blanket or a wet, that sounds crazy, a wet towel, and put the fan right on you. That's a cheap way of staying cool. And that would be next week. Now, tomorrow, sunshine, no, we're going to have a mixture of sun and clouds. Early in the day tomorrow with a warm front, there'll be a few showers. Might actually be quite wet early in the morning tomorrow. This time tomorrow morning could be raining in much of the area. Then there'll be a bit of a break, and then perhaps like yesterday, although in a different form, it'll be more warmer situation. No hail, shower, thunderstorm into the early evening. Highs tomorrow should get to the upper 70s. So it's not going to be a very warm weekend, but at least we're not going to see any extreme heat until beginning of next week. Tomorrow, Monday, the humidity is back, mid-80s, just an isolated shower, typical midsummer weather. And the big story next week is likely going to be the potential at least three-day heat wave. Of course, we know the definition of that. As I always say, too, it's all semantics. It has to be 90 or higher for three straight days. But if it was 89 or higher for three straight days, I'd still think it was quite warm. That would be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We could be looking at, away from the South Coast, mid-90s, both Wednesday and Thursday. So stay tuned on that. So, again, I can't stress enough, if you don't like heat and humidity, even though you might have to dodge a little bit of rain tomorrow, today would be the day to enjoy it outside, walking around, doing some errands, what have you, because it's only right now it's only in the low to mid-60s. We may only reach about 74 for a high today, 78 tomorrow, and then 85 Monday, 89 on Tuesday, I'm closing in on 90, then 92 or 93 on Wednesday, 95 for a high on Thursday. Now, of course, it will be a little cooler at the South Coast. This weekend, if you're interested in the tides, mid-afternoon, high tide. The tide is going out. It'll be low very shortly down at your favorite beach, Horseneck, Narragansett, Jamestown, Musquamacat. On average, the high tides will be coming in right around 3 o'clock this afternoon. So, again, that's the situation with the weather over the coming weeks. Now, talking about hurricanes. Now, you said just in the last 15, 20 minutes some good stuff about, you know, hurricane preparedness. So you've almost covered it. But the key with the hurricanes, and then we'll talk about the predictions and the season and stuff. The key with preparing with hurricanes here in New England is the issue of power losses. And I think, Mike, you asked, how do you know where, if you're going to flood? I think most towns and cities, you can find out where your floodplain is in your city or town. I think if you call the town officials, they'll let you know if you're living on a floodplain. Now, if you are, and the flow is just right, especially through Narragansett Bay and also down along Buzzards Bay, those are the places that have been hit by the worst, in terms of the worst hurricanes, those are the places that have been hammered. Also, Musquamacat, Westerly area, those are the places that get hit. But again, it has to be just the right wind direction. So you always, whenever there's a hurricane headed this way, you always want to obviously watch the forecast, and we'll let you know, all forecasters will let you know if the wind direction is just right to cause problems. The other thing, of course, is power. This is the main, where most of us live, not right on the beach or right near the floodplain. It's the power outage because in the summertime, in the warm season, the leaves are on the trees, so it takes less wind to knock down trees when the trees have leaves on them. Now, obviously, pine trees and things like that look the same all year, but the majority, a lot of the trees have leaves on them. So a 60-mile-an-hour wind this time of the year will blow down a tree that in the wintertime would not come down with that same wind speed, because the trees don't have leaves on them, so the leaves are acting like sails. So the bottom line is the power is the issue, because if a tree falls on power lines, that's how most of us lose power during these hurricanes. I know you were mentioning, I was, you know, during Hurricane Irene, I was down by the hurricane barrier, Channel 6, and we had trees coming down right near us, several of them, dodging the bullets there at the east side. So again, you got to be careful. And if they fall on your house, that's obviously not a good thing. That might not cause a power outage. You might have damage to your roof if it misses the wires. But that's the two issues with trees. Will mm-hmm. they fall on a building or will they fall on wires? And if they do, then you have a problem either way. You might actually keep your power if it falls on the roof, but you have roof damage. Or you all have roof damage because it didn't fall on your house, but it fell on the wires, knocked the wires down. And you always want to stay away from those wires. They could be low-hanging. I know we were driving back during Irene, and the wires were sparking on the east side, stuff like that. So you got to be careful. The other thing is, this season, we've had three storms, believe it or not. However, all three of them have not caused trouble. We've had three storms. The last one was Claudette. The next storm is going to be Danny. And you were talking about, Mike, I think you were asking about Hurricane Gloria, or someone mentioned Gloria.
Right.
And, of course, that song, Gloria, da-da-da. Well, the next storm, Danny, they'll probably be singing Danny Boy.
Oh.
And again, it's more to make light of it. It's not, if it's a serious situation, you don't want to generally be singing Danny, you know, having a nice time or whatever. But that's the next named storm. And then the east storm, Elaine, is not Elaine, it's Erica with a K.
Ugh, killing me. Who do I have to pay to get my name on that list?
How did they come
up with? I'll have to look. I want to say it might be on the list in a few years. I'm not sure, but I know you're coming up with a break. Can I go over, or do you want to take the break and I'll come back for just a couple more minutes?
Actually, we've got 30 seconds more, but I did want to talk to you about the difference between the, what is a hurricane and what is, when we come back from break, what I'd like to do is find out what's the difference between a warning and a watch, and what is exactly a hurricane. So we are going to have to take a quick break, Jim.
Sure.
Can you hold on for just a little bit more and we'll come back to you?
Okay.
Fantastic. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Sturdy Memorial Hospital will be offering a free infant massage program on Saturday, July 25th from 10 a.m. to noon in the auditorium at the hospital. This program is designed for new moms and their partners and will be led by Jean Stringham, Sturdy Memorial's infant massage coordinator. It will focus on the techniques and benefits of massage for infants. Class size is limited and pre-registration is necessary. For more information or to register, call Nursing Administration at 508-236-7151.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Enjoy an evening stroll at Capron Park the night of the Zoo Moon. This event features food, music, and even a splash pad for the little ones. So show your support for the zoo, local artists, businesses, and crafters on July 22nd from 6 to 9 p.m. simply by attending this fun-filled annual community event.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you're on your first or second cup of coffee. This is Elaine LaRoche. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. And in studio, I have my wonderful engineer keeping me on time and making sure that everything runs smoothly. But on the phone, we have our meteorologist, Jim Corbin, and we're talking about emergency preparedness and hurricanes, and the hurricane season is upon us. Jim, let me just ask you, what are the times of the year that the hurricanes are? We were discussing, is it October? Yeah. Is it November?
No, I was actually glad you said that, because that's what I was going to bring up at some point before I get off the phone. But our hurricane season here, roughly 90 to 95% of all our named storms over the last, we've been keeping records over 100 years, roughly between mid-August and the end of September.
Oh.
Anytime before that, very rare to see a tropical system. In fact, the latest fairly good example was Hurricane Bertha, which was mid-July, about the 15th of July back in the 90s, mm-hmm. Where we had about 70-mile-an-hour winds. It was a strong tropical storm, low-grade hurricane. But most of the storms we get, and we talked about Bob, which was August 19th, and here's a list just to make sense. Bob, August 19th. Carol, August 31st. Hurricane Donna, September 12th. Gloria, September 27th. That was one of the later ones. Some of the others, well, our most recent one, again, Irene, August 28th. Sandy was early in October. That was outside, but Sandy obviously was not a direct hit here. That was the one that really hit New York City, flooded out the trains and everything else. So, again, we've had, believe it or not, an ex-hurricane around Thanksgiving, which was kind of ridiculous. It really was more like not really a hurricane. But our real season, even though the official season for the entire Atlantic starts June 1st and ends November 30th, New England really has to be concerned. There's no exact date, but it's roughly about the 15th of August through about the 30th of September.
Wow.
So that's about the time. But again, it doesn't mean you let your guard down beforehand. And right now, we don't see any significant formations, and it's not surprising that we're predicting a below-average hurricane season. But as many of us have always said, it's for New England especially, this far north, it's not how many storms are predicted. It's how the jet stream pattern sets up. And I guess, as we've all many times said, the year we had Hurricane Bob was a very quiet season, and the year we had Hurricane Gloria was a little more active. So it can go either way, depending on the jet stream. And the year we had Hurricane Irene was not necessarily a wild act. That was 2011. It was an active season, but it wasn't above average of any consequence. So, the hurricane, again, forms in the warm waters of the Atlantic, the Caribbean, and depending on the jet stream patterns, either moves west, northwest, north, northeast. It all depends on how that sets up. So, the minimum wind is 74 miles an hour for a hurricane, sustained winds. And again, the tropical storms, anywhere from 39 to 73 miles an hour.
Wow. Now, can you explain to us the difference between a watch and a warning?
Yeah. Yeah, watch, and this is typical of a lot of weather features, including in the wintertime, snow watches, blizzard watches, warnings. A watch is conditions are possible within the next 48 hours or so, 36 hours sometimes in some of them. In other words, it's not imminent, but it is quite possible. In other words, a watch would not be issued if it's pretty much a sure thing that the thing is going to miss us. Whereas a warning is within 24 hours. So just like in the wintertime when we have a snow watch or any kind of a severe thunderstorm watch, like some places did have in the last week or so here in New England. In other words, conditions are favorable. Now, that is different because that is more current within a few hours, and then a warning is issued when it's imminent in a place. So hurricanes are moving along, but we can track them for days, and that's why a watch with a hurricane can be out 48 hours. Usually that's about the most you'll get the watch out. So in other words, if there was a hurricane watch, and we knew, here we are early on Saturday morning, we knew that there's a pretty good chance we're going to have at least a close call with a hurricane as late as Monday morning, then there'd be a watch out. Then if we came to tomorrow morning and it looked like, all right, this thing is going to hit us, then a warning kicks in.
Mm-hmm. And what are the categories? You hear about the five categories. What does all of that The rankings.
That's the category 1 through 5. Cat 1, as I like to call it, a baby monster. And again, we're not chuckling about it like it's a good thing, but it's like the lowest grade that you can still have a hurricane. That was kind of like Irene, believe it or not. Here, it actually, just as it came ashore or it hit Rhode Island in southeastern Massachusetts, if you remember Irene, it was hitting on us. I believe it was a Sunday morning, and it just transformed into a very strong tropical storm. So it just gone below 74 miles an hour. But the bottom line is, Category 1 is up to about 95 miles an hour. Then Category 2 is from about 95 to I can't remember the number exactly, but Category 3, I think it's 114. Category 3 or higher, 3, 4, and 5 are the major hurricanes. They're considered major. And I think 115 miles an hour is the threshold for that. And then it all goes up to, sort of infinity, but 160 miles an hour, which would be the highest grade of a Category 5. Thank goodness we would have that.
Right.
1938 hurricane was a very strong Category 3 here, so it was a major hurricane. The sustained winds in New England, parts of New England, especially there on the coast in 38, was about 125 miles an hour. And, of course, Blue Hill Observatory had, of course, that's up on the hill there, 128 Boston, in the Milton area. As you come up 95, you see that big hill there. They had a wind gust. Now, that's not sustained, a wind gust of 186 miles an hour. So that was the worst one ever. Hurricane Carol on August 31st, there we go. Again, that time frame of mid-August to the end of September. You could almost think of Hurricane Gloria as one of the latest ones in that time frame, September 27th. And Mike, you were trying to figure out when Gloria was. That was 1985.
Oh.
Yeah, and Bob was August 19th, 1991. And one of the earlier ones we had that was a weak Category 1 was Hurricane Belle in 76. That was August 9th. But that, again, usually the ones that are either early or late are the weaker systems. The real bad ones that we get, or kind of bad, if you want to call it that, are mid-August. So we have another 3 weeks or so to go, mid-August through about the 30th for early few days of October.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I didn't know that. I always thought that, like what you were saying about it starts in June to November, but in New England.
Yeah, for New England, because some of the worst storms, for example, in the Caribbean are usually October, even into November, and some of the worst storms in the Gulf of Mexico are June and July, and for reasons, more water temperature issues and stuff like that. And the reason we have are really, it's a month and a half window of opportunity. Again, there are a few outliers either side, is we have just the right jet stream patterns that can set up, and the warmest waters we have here in New England are August and September. I mean, some of the best weather, as I've said to many I mentioned, is just after Labor Day. If you have a vacation and you say down on the South Coast, maybe the Cape Cod area, the first 2-3 weeks of September, when all the crowds are gone, you'll have nice warm waters if you like the beach, that's great, but it also means that it's prime for if a hurricane comes up. They like the warm water, and so they're going to feed on that, and that's why some of our worst storms are right. If you want to call it the peak here and call it within 2 weeks, it's the last couple of days of August and around the midpoint of September. That is the, if you want to get it down to about 15 days, that's where we've seen almost all of our bad hurricanes. And again, the 38 hurricane was September 21st, so there we go, not too far from that peak.
Right. Can you just explain the eye of the hurricane? What does that mean?
That's almost like being in the center of a tornado, which is what you were talking about earlier, where everything is spinning around and there's calm winds in it. Now, in a tornado, it's not necessarily calm winds in it, but that's where you'll have less wind. Everything is spinning around counterclockwise, and you've got sort of air that's sinking sort of in the middle, and you'll actually have quiet conditions. Now, depending on the actual look of it, sometimes these hurricanes, they look like eyes from space, the satellite. It really wasn't until we had good satellites many years ago that it wasn't really called an eye, because no one ever saw it from space.
Mm-hmm.
So before, it used to be just called the center of the hurricane. But now, because we have satellites that can look down on it, and sometimes, of course, we have colorized tops we can put on the satellite, it can look like a mean-looking eye in the middle. In other words, the satellite is taking the heights of the clouds and different colors being different heights. But right around that center, It's a lot of times a black color, a dead color, where there are no clouds, and therefore it looks like a mean-looking, almost like the eye. Sometimes I think of it as the eye of a shark, almost. It almost looks like, you know, just a menacing-looking eye. But the good thing is, when the ironic thing is, if you're in the eye, at least for whatever, however few minutes it is, the wind goes almost dead calm. So as bad as it looks, that's actually the best time when you're in the hurricane. But the unfortunate thing is you have to go on the other side of it within a matter of minutes, and that's when some people have been killed just from, say they're out in their yard and the eye goes right over you. You had strong winds, and all of a sudden the winds within 2 minutes can go from 80 miles an hour to almost dead calm. And you're like, oh, if you didn't know of any better, you'd go out your yard, look around, wow, storm's over. Then the other side of the eye, the other side of the flow, comes back, and within 2 minutes you're back up to 80 miles an hour, and maybe the tree you were standing under falls on you, and that's the end. So
Wow. That's
what you have. No, seriously, I'm not making light of that, but that's what can sometimes happen. That's a way, besides the stick issue with the trees falling on wires and falling on people. If you're out foolishly out in the middle of the storm, walking down the street, oh, this is great, look at the winds. Now, it's one thing to be out in if you're in a hurricane and you're in an area where there's no ocean and there are no trees, well, you might be able to, stand it, because
Right. You're
not really going to get blown and hit by anything, especially, you know, no houses around you, maybe in the middle of a field. But if you're in a tree-lined street, you live in a tree-lined neighborhood, and like we saw with Irene, our most recent, Sandy to some extent, but that was more westerly. But if you're in a tree-lined street, I would highly recommend not walking out, even if the winds don't seem strong, in the middle of a hurricane, because any one tree could fall on you, fall on a house, fall
right.
on a wire, and it could fall, it could cause, set fire, sparks on the road, and everything else. So.
Okay, Jim, I've got to hold you because
okay.
I've got like 10 seconds to wrap up this show. It's
long.
Great.
Right.
No, great information, and I really want to thank you. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to our show, Out and About with Elaine. Meet me back here next Saturday morning at 7 a.m., and let's keep the conversation going. Take care. Have a wonderful week.